Tucker Carlson plays the forbidden January 6th videos, and Chuck Schumer's not happy about it. And 60 Minutes tackles the dangerous AI subversion going on. This is the Propaganda Report's Drive Time News Blast. I am Brad Binkley. Joining me today is a friend of mine, a very talented individual, and an actor, a comedian, somebody I've known for a very long time, who some people mistake us for brothers, and that is Justin Ridgway. Justin, welcome to the show. We've been talking about having you on for a while now, and I'm glad to finally be doing it.
Yeah, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Typically, we both chose to wear gray shirts, which, right. You know, that fits. We go way back. We used to do improv together. But I think, what was your astronaut university name? Steel, something Steel?
Joey Steel, yeah.
Joey Steel. I was Johnny Blastoff. All right. The top story for me anyway is that Tucker Carlson, I don't usually play anything from Tucker Carlson, but he's the one who was given the 40,000 plus hours of video of the January 6th incident. The sheer number there, like I hear 40,000 hours of video, and I think, man, they must have caught a lot of people doing a lot of creepy things in corners when they thought they were by themselves. Like, I'm imagining Chuck Schumer peeing behind a lot of trash cans, stuff like people playing with their nose. I can't imagine what all is on that footage. And also, it makes you think that just every corner of Washington, D.C. has Big Brother watching it.
Yeah. And I can't believe somebody actually sat there and watched 40,000 hours of footage. That's just incredible to me.
And that is actually perfect for the first clip, because Tucker explains here how they were able to get through the 40,000 hours, because you can't do that with human manpower, and they did not use human manpower. Here's a clip.
Of the 40,000 or so hours of tape, most of it turned out to be irrelevant. Static shots of empty rooms, in some cases far from the Capitol itself. To find relevant videotape, our producers were given use of Capitol computers with advanced mapping software that made it easy to find what we were looking for. What we didn't have was access to facial recognition software, and that was significant. For more than 2 years, we have wondered why some in the crowd that day who seemed to be inciting violence were never indicted for it. We assumed these were federal agents of some sort. We still assume that. And in fact, there were many examples of behavior we saw in those tapes that didn't seem to make sense. Men in civilian clothes holding doors open for protesters, escorting others through the Capitol, etc. We would love to know who these people were. But as of tonight, we don't know. And because we don't know, we're not going to put their faces on the screen and suggest they were federal agents. That would be irresponsible.
There's a couple things there in that clip that stood out to me. The first one was the Capitol Computer Advanced Mapping Software. And I'm laughing for those who are listening, because we're doing a pre-record of this, and I just talked for like 2 minutes and my mic was muted the whole time, so I'm going back through what I just said to myself. And I want to know what that advanced mapping software is that they're using, because it reminds me of what they tell us that the new ChatGPT Bing AI, they call it your co-pilot, is. The whole idea behind the new Bing AI is that you don't have to get a whole bunch of links returned when you do a search anymore and decide for yourself which one you trust. We will just tell you the answer for you so you don't have to think. With the idea being that their AI will scour the entirety of the internet, all of the information, and then it will come back to you and it will have selected the most relevant and accurate information for whatever purpose you sent it searching for, which to me is a great way to bury information they don't ever want you to find. And I'm wondering if this Capitol computer program they're talking about is some sort of similar AI search program that is going to prevent actual damning video footage that they don't want seen from emerging. I mean, if I were Chuck Schumer or Pelosi, I would want to program bias into that Capitol computer software.
Yeah, and I just, you know, again, like, of all the hours of all the nothing that happened there. And then just immediately they were able to like use the software to just find what exactly what they were looking for, which even still was, you know,
underwhelming,
a little underwhelming, right. Like concierge is just walking.
See, that's the thing. To me, it's like the Twitter files. it's underwhelming because it's stuff that people like us and people who listen to the show already knew from the beginning. It's just the stuff that the people who buy in 100% to that this was the most violent insurrection coup that's ever been attempted. They'd never seen any of this, but we knew all of this. So just like the Twitter files, I read a 90 point thread in the Twitter files. I'm like, yeah, I knew all that from like day one. Give me something I have. So it's just like validation of what we already knew that only we're going to read because the propagandists on the other side are doing their what's called pre-bunking efforts to inoculate. And this is how they talk about it, dude. They say they're going to inoculate their audiences and prevent them from even engaging in information that they consider to be disinformation. And they even talk about how sometimes you got to do a little more pre-bunking because people need a booster to prevent. And they say booster. It's called like informational inoculation theory. It's something like really dystopian that they did studies on at Stanford that they're actually applying and they're teaching in children's media literacy courses, which are teaching children to be very stupid and to not think. So the people who need to see this stuff will probably never see it. And to us, it's underwhelming. You're totally right. So I have videos of people who were on the ground that day filming because we interviewed a couple of people who were there and they showed us their pictures and their video footage. And we almost, because this was shortly after January 6th, we almost put it on our website at the time, but we stopped and said, we probably shouldn't do this because the feds are probably going to be rounding people up. And we were right. About, like, I told people months before January 6th happened, I said, do not go there. There will be provocateurs and you will end up arrested or screwed one way or another. This is a setup. And so we never put those photos on our website. And that was smart because it's like an old sweet lady. And so what I saw in those photos was a surprising number of Asian people, along with tons of old people. And they're all just milling and chilling like the old folks home, you know, had like a field trip to a DC street festival. And it's like people walking around looking for a stand to get a beer and a funnel cake is what these videos showed.
I don't even think they knew what was good. Most of them probably thought they were on some sort of tour of the Capitol building.
Dude, yeah. And they're opening the doors or letting people in.
The guy with the buffalo hat on. He looks like he works here. He's like a
performance artist. Well, I'm glad you brought that guy up because the next clip I have addresses the QAnon shaman, as they call him, who I believe he's serving 4 years in prison for activities that Tucker is. And again, I know Tucker is selecting the video out of context, just like the January 6th committee did as well. So both out of context. And Tucker surrounds all of this stuff with a very directed narrative. I tried to cut out as much of his narrative as possible to get straight to the clips, but it's very hard. He actually played very few clips in like an hour show yesterday. But here's the one that addresses what the QAnon shaman was doing while he was inside the Capitol.
The single most famous person arrested that day was a Navy veteran from Arizona called Jacob Chansley, often referred to as the QAnon shaman.
The so-called QAnon shaman.
QAnon shaman.
Someone named Q shaman.
Jacob Chansley became the face of January 6th, a dangerous conspiracy theorist dressed in outlandish costume who led the violent insurrection.
So there's video of him just walking casually and calmly through the Capitol on screen right now.
Also, they say it like he's some sort of character from a video game, like the boss, like the QAnon shaman.
Yeah, he's a myth, a mythical individual, very dangerous. So we've done a lot of theater in our lives. We met each other through acting and spent a lot of time in theater. And I talk on the show a lot about how you meet a lot of interesting people late at night at theaters, to say the least. And we've met a lot of QAnon shaman type people.
Yeah.
And not one of them that I've met has ever been a dangerous person. A little weird, but I'm a little weird. Never dangerous. And to me, this person never looked dangerous at any point in time.
Action to overthrow American democracy. For these crimes, Chansley was sentenced to nearly 4 years in prison.
Look at that picture, that mugshot. They got the craziest eyes shot right there, man.
Yeah.
far more time than many violent criminals now receive. What did Jacob Chansley do to receive this punishment? To this day, there is dispute over how Chansley got into the Capitol building.
So right now, he's walking around with police officers. It's very calm. He's not doing anything.
But according to our review of the internal surveillance video, it is very clear what happened once he got inside.
I mean, he looks like a guy who's just like that guy everybody puts up with because he's a doofus, but he's nice. So just let him walk around carrying his flag.
We don't know what's in that backpack. There could be
plastic explosives from
You
know what's in that backpack? Probably the most ganja you've ever seen in your life is in that backpack. That's what they could have arrested him for.
Virtually every moment of his time inside the Capitol was caught on tape. The tapes show that Capitol Police never stopped Jacob Chansley. They helped him.
I love that the cops are wearing masks.
Right. They're afraid for their lives. But, you know,
yeah. Masks stop bullets.
Yeah.
They acted as his tour guides. Here's video of Chansley in the Senate chamber. Capitol Police officers take him to multiple entrances and even try to open locked doors for him.
They are. They're walking around like they're buddy-buddy with him here.
That was nice of him to press the button on the elevator.
Yeah, the cop pressed the button on the elevator for that guy.
Counted at least 9 officers who were within touching distance of unarmed Jacob Chansley.
Look at these cops. They're playing with their phones leaning up against the wall. They are under no duress whatsoever in these videos. I know it's out of context, but...
Well, the biggest problem is, you know, his mask is up under his nose, so he's really not...
Yeah, he needs to go to jail for four... That's probably what they really put him in jail for, is he didn't have a mask on. But I'm looking at this, and so there's all this footage of him moving through the Capitol, and at one point, I don't know if it was in the clip, Tucker said that every movement he made in the Capitol was on camera somewhere. So it's like they just have this smorgasbord of him moving around where they can just look and say, oh, there's one thing we can construe as being criminal activity and then blow it out of proportions. Like, just one wrong move. And because what we're seeing, and I know it's just a selective portion, he's not doing anything. But they just sit there and wait with the cameras, pick one thing, and send him over to the FBI, and he's now a white nationalist. This person is not a terrorist.
Chansley, not one of them even tried to slow him down. Chansley,
nobody who carries an American flag and a bullhorn and dresses whatever the shaman thing is and paints his face is a terrorist. That's somebody who goes to like a Texas A&M Texas game and gets too drunk is what that is.
I think that's where he came from.
Probably.
Understood that Capitol Police were his allies. Video shows him giving thanks for them in a prayer on the floor of the Senate. Watch. Contrast the reality of what Jacob Chansley did in the Capitol building on January 6th, the indisputable facts recorded on video, some of which has never before been seen, with the depiction of Jacob Chansley that you've seen in the media for more than 2 years. He's a terrorist, they said. He should be killed.
Shoot him. Shoot him. Like, is it you first?
That's Steve Schmidt. He is a commentator on MSNBC. I think he used to work in the Clinton White House. He is one of the worst propagandists, most extreme that you will see. He's an awful, awful person. And what an awful thing to say about anybody.
Into the United States. If he was dressed like Bin Laden, would you have shot him?
Shoot him. Shoot him. It makes you wonder, who are the violent extremists here? Not Jacob Chansley. And the video proves that. But you would never have known from the media coverage.
All right, I've talked a lot through that. What are your thoughts, Justin?
Yeah, I mean, look, clearly they shouldn't have gone in there, obviously. It was a dumb move, and they just all look like a bunch of idiots. And you know, it's just
they're like the people that you just put your hand on your forehead and you go, "Oh, so and so's at it again. He's harmless, but gosh, it's embarrassing." That type of person.
Yeah, it's super. Like, I'm just embarrassed for this guy mostly that he wouldn't dress like that. It's just.
But you're not afraid he's going to blow your house up.
No, I mean, I would be, if it were me, I would be afraid. But if I were a cop with ballistic gear and like riot shields and
he's got those horns, you know.
Well, that is true. That's a good point. You have to watch out for the horns. So yeah. I take it back.
It's partly frustrating too, because with 40,000 hours of footage, you can select any amount of it and create what it's like a storytelling game. You can create whatever story you want with that footage. But what goes against the January 6th narrative is that clip of him that they showed standing in the balcony screaming while the one guy was taking photos underneath him, which was clearly a photo op.
Right.
I mean, that's what that was. He was, that guy went up to him. Because we've done this. We've done like photo, headshot stuff where you do, you know, weird stuff and you get photos. And that's what that looked like to me. He said, give me something loud, big. And it looked like he was reacting to the cameraman there. That's the one that they show in the January 6th hearings to try and make him look like a bad dude. You're right. Going in there was not the best idea. But it was a setup. The whole thing, I told people, this whole thing was obvious setup. And this poor dude walked around for hours, gave them hours of footage to select this, that, and this, and frame him. I don't even know what crime they convicted him of. But he's that guy's spending 4 years in prison. And that's unbelievable.
Yeah, well, they, you know, and I'm going to misquote this story because I don't know it, but I heard on Joe Rogan that there was this sort of FBI sting where they basically coerced these two kids into detonating a bomb. And that like
they 10 do that all the
people
time.
Were like FBI agents.
Yeah,
and,
no,
like,
they do that all the time. Them. So whenever this shit happens on, I mean, swear, I know this is the DMB, whenever there's like a domestic, so there'd be these stories where it's like the FBI thwart a domestic terrorism attack. Because, so the narrative that Biden laid out in June of 2021, when he introduced the countering domestic terrorism strategy, and he announced that the biggest threat to our democracy was domestic terrorists, white nationalists, domestic terrorists, which is weird because I don't see white nationalists and KKK people walking up and down the street, but that's the way they made it sound. So what they need to give people the sense that that is actually a real thing is they need to occasionally come out with these stories that the FBI thwarted an imminent terror attack that was a white nationalist group, a neo-Nazi group putting it on. And so whenever I see that, I always get the legal court complaint from the official, LexisNexis website, and I go through it and I just count how many undercover informants there are. They're what's it called again? It's called like confidential human source, CHS is what it's called. And probably 2-3 weeks ago, I pulled up the FBI rules on what confidential human sources are allowed to do. They're mandated to break laws in service of catching people or preventing people from breaking laws. And what they're allowed to do is they're allowed to murder people. They are mandated to murder people to essentially entrap. So they surround the dumbest people on the planet, the most bumpkin idiots, with like 9 FBI agents. Informants, and they're like, hey, you should be really pissed off about the way they're treating you, and if I were you, I would really I wouldn't take it anymore. If you need any help, I got all these materials. If you put them together, I'll go get them. And then they go to like the CIA, like they literally go get the bomb from the FBI or from Langley, the informant does, and they bring it to this idiot, this dumb bumpkin idiot, and they say, here's what you're going to give them their comeuppance with. And they hand it to him, and then the idiot takes it, and then they say, you're under arrest.
Yeah.
It's messed up, dude. It's every single time if you read those court documents. It's maddening. And I tell people, if you're in some sort of weird group and there's people encouraging you, you know, to give somebody their comeuppance, your buddy's an FBI agent. Don't listen to them or to accept any bombs from them, okay? It's the same effing story. So All right, so you know the other kind of narrative. You probably heard this. The Brian Sicknick, the police officer, the Capitol police officer. So there's this Capitol police officer who died shortly after the January 6th. And there was a number of different changing stories about how he died. At first, he was bludgeoned to death by a protester with like a fire extinguisher, which that turned out to be completely made up. Yeah. And then there was like some sort of gas or bear spray or something that killed him. And it all turned out to be a lie, but it didn't stop it from being the central narrative in those January 6th hearings, where they're like, police officers were murdered by insurrectionists. Well, Tucker has a little bit of, albeit I think it's underwhelming footage because we knew this already, but footage proving what we already knew, that this guy wasn't killed because of January 6th. And here it is.
To this day, media accounts describe Sicknick as someone who was, quote, slain on January 6th. The video we reviewed proves that is a lie. Here is surveillance footage of Sicknick walking in the Capitol after he was supposedly murdered by the mob outside. By all appearances, Sicknick is healthy and vigorous. He's wearing a helmet, so it's hard to imagine he was killed by a head injury. Whatever happened to Brian Sicknick was very obviously not the result of violence he suffered at the entrance to the Capitol. This tape overturns the single most powerful and politically useful lie the Democrats have told us about January 6th. And it was indeed a lie. The January 6th committee knew perfectly well that Brian Sicknick was walking normally through the Capitol after he was supposedly murdered by Trump supporters. And they know that because they saw this tape. We can be sure because the footage contains an electronic bookmark that is still archived in the Capitol's computer system. That means that investigators working for the Democratic Party reviewed this tape. They saw it. But they refused to release the tape to the public. Why? Because this tape would shatter the fraud they were perpetrating on the country. Because hiding the truth served their political interest. They lied about the police officer they claimed to revere. If they were willing to do that, then their dishonesty knew no limits.
Very dramatic storytelling by Tucker. You know, Tucker's dad was in, what was it? The Voice of America thing, like Vietnam. His dad was a propagandist. Oh, okay. So Tucker's got propagandist roots. But propagandists on both sides tell the truth when it serves their narrative. I think it's an X-Files. Yeah, it is an X-Files. I think it's one of the last episodes of season one where Deep Throat tells Mulder that the best way to tell a lie is sandwiched between two truths, because you win the trust with the truths and people let their guard down and they slip the lies in. And that's how propaganda works on both sides. I see something like that. And that's not like, you're right, it's underwhelming. I knew that. You knew that. People listening knew that. I just wonder, what would people on the other side of this discussion who buy into the main narrative, what their response would be to something like that? Like, we have a mutual friend that you know who I'm talking about, who trolls me on Twitter all the time with the worst arguments ever. Like, how would he respond to this thing about this officer who he's been convinced was murdered by Trump supporters? Do you have any thoughts? I don't know because I got to be honest with you. I've responded to him in ways where I thought that there's no possible response that he can have. And he has somehow bent himself over backwards to justify supporting Nazis as a Jewish person. As long as it's just 100 Nazis he's supporting, because it's a small percentage, so that's okay, even though he doesn't, you know, he calls Marjorie Taylor Greene a Nazi, and he's not okay with her. There's always this, like, Edward Bernays, the propagandist from, he was, like, lived to be, like, 100 years old, and he was part of the first organized propaganda operation that got us into World War One. He talks about these logic-proof compartments in our brains, that propaganda triggers these emotional stimulus that prevents us from actually using logic and reasoning. And I think he's kind of talking about cognitive dissonance there. But I don't know. I mean, I think he would probably minimize it and ignore it, is my guess. I don't know, though.
I mean, look, whatever fits whatever narrative, right? I mean, and right, like yeah. you said, there's this cognitive dissonance between the truth and, you know, and yeah, I don't know, like, you know, the crazy thing is like, well, what happened to the guy? That's what I want to know, because like
how did he really die? Right.
Yeah, because I mean,
I think they say he had a stroke, I believe was the ultimate okay. explanation.
But, it, yeah, because yeah. I mean, it's, you know, and it's funny, you see him waving people like he's like, come on in, come on in. He's kind of waving them right. on. You yeah, know,
waving his demise inside.
Yeah, he's like, come on, hit me over the head.
So I think the response from somebody on the other side would be that somebody he caught like fumes from bear spray repellent or something. There's been so many different explanations for this, and that yeah. bear spray repellent they would claim is what caused him days later to have a stroke and die. I think that might be one, but again, I'm yeah. not certain on that. I'm looking it up right now. How did he die? Death of Brian Sicknick, the police officer. He died from a stroke.
Stabbed to death with horns.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he was bludgeoned by horns, by a very stoned man. and so the medical examiner found that he had died from a stroke, classifying the death as natural. And he commented that all that transpired. So this is what they lean on. The medical examiner said that all that transpired played a role in his condition. A very vague, generic statement. All that transpired played a role.
Gotcha.
Gives him a bone to...
It kind of sounds like how they sort of manipulate the COVID
right, yep.
deaths,
what?
Right?
What are you talking about? They manipulated COVID deaths? Dude, I got so many videos like kicked off of YouTube and blocked, and so many, you know, context things, because in the very beginning of this I looked up the stuff about polio and about Cheryl Atkinson. Are you familiar with her?
No.
So Cheryl Atkinson on Twitter is a great follow, and she's written a couple of books about being stonewalled by the media. She used to work for CBS, and she was reporting on stuff she shouldn't report on, and they hacked her computer. Like, she saw her computer get hacked, and she saw them deleting her stories, like, while she was watching it. And she sued, I think she sued the FBI, and she does great reporting. And so she was reporting on, there was a scare of a pandemic, like bird flu in a 2005 or something like that. And she reported about how they talked about these millions of cases of people who'd had it, but then they just stopped talking about where the numbers came from. And she looked into it and knew that that seemed inaccurate, because the federal government wasn't, they stopped counting, just like they stopped counting with COVID. And so she did an investigation where she went state to state, and she got the actual counts from like each state, and found that they had been classifying these bird flu cases the same way that they classified the COVID cases. They just default made certain things a bird flu case, and then they went back and changed it. And ultimately, it ended up being that as a country, we overreported the number of bird flu cases during that, or it might have been H1N1 during that scare, by millions. And she had proof of all. It's great. Check her out if you haven't seen her reporting. But I read that, and I'm looking at what they're doing with COVID. I'm like, she's doing the same thing. And then I looked up polio, and they did the same thing with polio. It's a scare tactic to get people to just shut up and take the jab without giving them problems. Don't take the jab, but Dr. Fauci.
Or it's just Debbie with the drop down box in the computer. And she's too lazy to scroll right. it down.
It's the first thing that pops up. And she just clicks.
It's just right there. And so she's just like, click, click.
That's like a nudge. That's like they call it choice architecture. This guy, yeah. Cass Sunstein, who was Obama's propagandist, and he talked about you give people choices that makes them choose the thing that you want them to do and pushes them away from things that they might otherwise choose. So the Dropbox, so you just make it really hard. You make the computer mess up and just, all right, fine, COVID.
Just kick.
All right, so I think this is the last clip from Yeah, I think this is the last. So I thought this was interesting. So you remember that first clip about the computer and yeah. Tucker referenced facial recognition.
Yeah.
I believe this is the clip, yeah, where he's talking to Thomas Massie, who's I think he's either a congressman or a senator. I think a congressman, who is a Republican, but he's like a libertarian-leaning Republican. And here's what he says that I think is interesting.
As you said, Tucker, you didn't have facial recognition software there. We also...
So I will stop it there. That's the second time facial recognition software has come up. Tucker mentioned it. Now Thomas Massie, a libertarian-leaning Republican, mentioned it. But look at that image that looks on the right there. It looks like this fishbowl image, almost like a secret camera that you would see in movies just watching people pass by. It's kind of creepy looking.
Yeah, it is.
So we need a complete catalog of all of the feds who were there. Tell us who they were. Let's watch the videos and let's see what they did, because there's some really strange behavior on those videos. People behind the police lines in plain clothes, like touching them on the shoulder, talking in their ear, walking up, you know, around boundaries as if they weren't even there. It's very odd.
So I thought that clip was interesting for a couple reasons. One, Thomas Massie, like I said, libertarian leaning, and he here seems to be promoting the use of facial recognition technology to identify people in the crowd. Albeit he's appealing to us in doing so, saying we need to uncover the feds who were provocateur. Yeah. So we want, like, I want to do that. But his like solution for doing that is like, let's bring in the facial recognition technology. So to me, I was thinking about, I was like, so it kind of poses the question of, they use facial recognition technology on us. Is he suggesting that we turn the facial rec tech back on them? But also, what about the people who aren't feds, who it captures, and what kind of like precedent would it set? This is an interesting angle that this is going in with this face, because usually people who aren't like, in fact, I think most people are kind of like, facial recognition tech is a little scary.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and the funny thing is it's like, you know, with the mass people and all, they have this sort of like anonymity to be able to like kind of walk around and not be identified. And then,
you know what they were doing during COVID, right? Is they were training technology to be able to do facial recognition technology that sees through your mask.
How would they be able to it's so funny because I'll see somebody and I will recognize them if they have a mask on sometimes. Like, I just basically just like, you know,
you won't recognize them.
No, I have a hard time recognizing people.
Maybe the tech is like training in on the eyes, like a Demolition Man type thing, and find like maybe like a fingerprint, but for your eye, an ocular print. I don't know, but there was a lot of stories that I covered where there was companies trying to develop that technology. And I even think I saw something where there were some iPhone experiments that claimed that you could unlock your phone even if you had a mask on. So you could just cover your face in perpetuity. You never have to show your face again.
Well, I did just see that in New York, they're trying to get it to where you can't walk into a building now with a mask on. You have to like take it off because of all the crime that's been happening. So
before in New York, you get kicked out of the military, you lose your job, you lose your bar. Now you can't go into a building with a mask on. What a shocker.
You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, right? But just to wrap it back around to that facial recognition, you know, it's just funny because, like, it just goes to show you how both sides just want to, you know, usher in this sort of, like, authoritarian, like, you know, we got to make sure everybody's safe, you know.
In sneaky ways, you know.
Safe.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't matter in what regard it is. It always ends up, no matter what it is, whether it's a disease or whether it's a guy dressed as a bull storming the Capitol, it all ends in, we got to make sure that we know who you are at all times and where you are.
Like, we better get this facial recognition if we want to expose these illegal feds. What's the guy's name?
Ray Epps.
We want to get Ray Epps. We need some facial recognition. Him and his team. Yeah, they always do those appeals. That's what ChatGPT, like the appeals they're making. It's crazy. It's like they said this in their introductory video. The Google philosophy when it first started used to be, you put in a search and we give you a bunch of links and you decide for yourself. Our philosophy is, you don't have to do any of that work. We'll decide for you. You don't have to think anymore. I'm just like, how is that an appeal? It's an appeal to just idiocracy.
Yeah.
But so when you hear, because that happened with probably within about a 7 minute span, two mentions of facial recognition technology by Tucker and a congressperson. That's an agenda right there. Okay, so before we wrap the show up, and we're going to wrap it up with something just for you, Justin, I want to tell y'all what we're going to talk about in the subscriber-only portion of the show. We're going to do some stuff that I know that you'll be into in the XR. Rich Eisenson, who's a sportscaster, he went to like a football combine, and there were some rumors that are relevant in the political world too that he heard, and I want to see how you react to him. And also we're gonna play a supporter and a friend, Estella, she makes great artwork for the show sometimes, makes great artwork in general, like just fantastic and funny. She sent me a link of some AI stand-up comedy, and the actual link she sent didn't have a video with it, so I went on YouTube and I found a stand-up routine that was animated. That was ChatGPT. So we're going to analyze some ChatGPT stand-up comedy routines in the XR. And that'll probably about wrap it up. Maybe I'll throw some headlines at you and see how you react to them. But if you want to get access to that, you can go to patreon.com/propagandareport. You can go to propreport.locals.com as well, rockfin.com/propagandareport to get that subscriber-only content. What you get with Patreon is I take the ads out for subscribers. And for Locals and Patreon, I take the ads out for subscribers. And Rockfin also. And Patreon, I put it together, and you get it in an RSS feed that you can put into any podcast app player and pop it in there. So check that out. And I want to close the show out today with something a little lighthearted, perhaps even a bit stupid, something you'll definitely remember, dude. And that's a clip from a short-lived web series called Idiot Losers, featuring Justin and myself, as well as Josh, who listeners to the show will recognize as the voice of Trump every now and then on the Drive Time News Blast, and Ian, who has been a guest co-host a couple of times as well. Here's the clip.
Dude, Josh and I have an idea for a show.
An idea.
What?
You have an idea.
I have an idea. Like, I have an idea for a show.
Yeah, you're right.
Wait, what was I saying?
You have an idea, old chum.
All right.
You know, two things about that. One, I don't know how long ago that was. Probably 10 years ago, I would say.
Yeah, about 10 years ago or so.
But we still look
good,
basically,
dude.
The same.
Yeah, we look good, dude.
And two, that leather jacket.
It's
is
good jacket.
Ridiculous.
Good jacket, dude. Very cool. Very Fonzie. Like, you know.
I can't believe I would wear that. Oh my
dude,
God.
Did you look at me? I had on dog tags and like a V-neck. I had on a Zelensky shirt in that.
Yeah, you look like Vladimir Zelensky in that.
All right. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll talk to you next time. Have a fantastic rest of your day.